As a campus and community radio station, CKUT's mandate is to provide an essential service to those in the Montreal community whose needs are not met by mainstream commercial radio. CKUT is radio by and for the community and is produced entirely by volunteers. Opinions expressed on the show you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the opinions of CKUT at large. If you have feedback about anything you hear on CKUT, please get in touch with us at procom@ckut.ca with the specific feedback and the date and time of the show it's about. That's procom@ckut.ca.
Blessed, melanated, rising, my people. I am so grateful to life, God our creator, and to the ancestors for making it possible for us to be able to be here this morning. And as of today's show, let it be very uplifting for our listeners. Let it be very educational for our listeners. Most importantly, let it be empowering for each and everyone who has tuned in this morning. And I just ask that the spirits of love, light, unity, strength, positivity, great health, and all those other good stuff just be with us this morning. Blessed, melanated rising, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Blessed.
I'm just feeling hype this morning. Sorry, Jim. Go ahead. Pleasure.
Well, we'll take it for afternoon as opposed to morning, but let's work from there.
Oh, yeah, no. Because it is technically, as our listeners are tuned in, it's 7 a.m. Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. Starting off for next time. Okay, great.
Okay. Well, let's see. This week, it was better than last week. No confrontations. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have to say, I almost had to question my gangster a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I was like, is my bark louder than my bite? I was like, no. That's because Gina, the universe did not want you to regress. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't have to worry about how gangster your gangster is. I have nothing to prove to nobody.
Okay, but you know, Gina, you're not being fair to our listeners. So those who might not have tuned in last week are like, what is Gina talking about?
No, yeah, someone tried me at Canadian Tire, and he really did try me, and he tried to speak to me with his chest and came in my eyes while he was talking to me, my two eyes, and I had to ask him what's up because I was ready to throw the bows. I weighed on the side of just not doing that, although I could have been like, I'm like, this has cameras, this would have seen the whole situation. Mm-hmm. But then, like, why ruin my whole day? Mm-hmm. And what I was telling certain people these stories, and you know that, oh, that couldn't be me answer. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, you better than me, right? Answer, where you're just kind of like, should I throw them bones? Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, because my friend was just like, no, from when he backed up on you, like, that was grounds for hands.
Yeah, well, because he physically got into your space. Like, there was a physical interaction. There,
right.
So, yeah.
But
he planted that seed. He should have been ready to reap. You understand?
He really did. But, you know, I have to say I had a better week for it. Because that was last Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. Or the Saturday before last. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end, when I really thought about it, I was just like, it wouldn't have been worth it. Police probably would have been called. Nobody has time for that, you mm-hmm. know?
Like, yeah, you would have been labeled the aggressive black woman.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Well, actually, no, I'd be like, run the tape.
Right.
I would have to ask you to run the tape. Mm-hmm. But no, like, other than that, honestly, like, work's been crazy. Mm-hmm. As some of you may know, and for those who don't, I'm a technical recruiter, so I recruit. And this market right now, if you're not happy at your job, it's the time to look, because there's nothing but availability. It's not like this pandemic, this whole thing, this the self-searching that people are doing, and the realization that I'm either happy or not where I am. Like, it's in full fledged right now.
People are quitting left, right, and center.
Left, right, and center. I'm looking for 3 recruiters: 2 in North America, 1 in Poland. So if you guys know of anyone, please send them my way.
Tech background? This is tech.
At this point, no.
It's like anything. You looking for work?
Yeah. I got you. Like, have you done this before? Thank you. Except for Poland, I do need them to be tech in Poland, but I don't. Okay. I don't expect to get so many referrals from that, but you never know.
You never know. OFC is huge.
Go yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like crazy from there. But other than that, you know, I actually went on a date.
What? Oh my God! You just dropping it. You should have started with that.
Why? So, don't tell me how to start my week.
So what happened? Date stories.
Oh no! It was I'm not turning the camera towards me.
Don't worry. Go ahead.
Lord. No, it was nice. It was actually a first date. And it was nice because it was with a grown-up. You know what I mean?
An adult. Yes. Somebody who knows what time it is.
I was like, oh, look at you adulting like an adult. Having adult type conversations.
Right?
I was just like, oh, virtual high five. And you know what the crazy part is? I know this is going to sound real crazy because, mm-hmm. you know, he called.
Okay.
No, but see, I know for you that sounds like something completely normal.
Right, yeah.
No, in this life of text and voice note only, like it was just like, oh, like I'm like, here's my number, because like you want to come off the app and stuff, right? And like, here's my number, just text me, because like I'm not on this app like that. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, cool. And then his text was like, hey, this is Assassin Shots, can I call you? I was like, what, hello?
Okay. Like, let me get my voice ready.
You can ring my bell.
Right?
Good.
Right.
I had like great conversation and stuff. So we're just like, okay, let's meet in person. And it was good. Great conversation and all that. So
nice.
There will be a second one.
Okay. I feel like I should ask more questions.
No, mind your business.
I just don't know. I was like, yo, I didn't know what to ask. Like, what do our listeners want to know?
Okay. So, no. First of all, only a first date. And like, this is roundtable week, so we ain't got time for all that.
I know,
trust.
I've got to start a whole segment. Okay, but we will come back to you, Gina. Thank you. So, Queen Kaya, how was your week?
Peace. Not as interesting as Gina.
Clearly.
I want to take my part of this segment to ask Gina some questions.
She's like, I leave the floor.
You know?
Where did you... First of all, I'm going to tell you, I've been actively looking for a real boo that'll take me on a date for a long time. You got date number two already lined up. Where did you find him? Are you on a dating site, or do you know this person?
No, it was on Hinge. It was on Hinge. Not that I'm trying to promote any of these sites. Because exactly. Like, all the apps are the same at the end of the day, but, like, you gotta kiss a lot of frogs, and by that, you have to swipe, is what that means.
Hinge, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, Hinge.
Yeah, but
no, don't look at me, but I don't know. Shad's looking at me.
She
like,
actually
why?
Meant the OFC site. No. That's what she really meant. No. She just didn't.
I'm just saying. I've never been on any of these dating sites. Disclaimer. So all this is new to me. Sorry, Kat. Mm. Go ahead. Jump in on your time.
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you. So just on the line of, because my week was actually kind of boring. I really just was trying to get to the bag. just trying to commit myself to starting up the businesses that I've always wanted to start, figuring out how to register a business and all of that stuff. You know, we always want to test out the business for a while without doing the legal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we can really do. So that's what I was getting to. But I actually downloaded a couple of dating apps myself.
Okay, it's in the air. Okay.
Actually, not just a few. I downloaded a whole bunch.
You might find a lot of repeat offenders. I'm just letting you know.
It's okay. Don't worry. That's what I need to see. That's why I want to see how many of them is actively on the other sites too, right? Because I need to know this too. So I downloaded one called Sweet. I downloaded some like sugar daddy, sugar baby type sites first.
Of course.
I got two of those.
Mm-hmm.
And you need all the options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And then I did Plenty of Fish.
That still exists.
And you guys are going to think I'm weird because I'm not into that lifestyle, but I actually downloaded T-A-I-M-I. They say it's like a lesbian gay.
I'm like T-A-I.
Dating site. But I want to see who's on there.
Okay.
So I downloaded that joint too.
Okay.
So I'm about...
You know I'm not going to hold you. Okay.
Listen, I'm saying, I ain't gonna hold you. This is what it is. So I think this week is the week where we need to explore a little bit for those of us who are looking for that special someone. And depending on what we're looking for, I think that this might actually be a good idea. So Gina, high five for the exploration and for the date. Like, that is serious. I haven't gotten to the point where I want to go on a date with anybody yet, but I'm feeling that, sis. So that's my week in a nutshell also. So I'll give you guys the update next week on exactly what happened. But yeah, that's my week too. I spent my time like investigating some sites and where I want to go on, and I actually took an online class this week about how to date differently. So
that's really cool.
Look at you, Kaya. Dadgone Queen Kaya, just in it, just building self. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gotta do something. Hell, can't be single forever. Shoot.
I
mean, so, you can be whatever you want to be.
But mind you,
inside part, sometimes, shoot.
Well, shoot, we discussed, well, last week we discussed a whole bunch of interesting type relationships, so you never know. Like,
that must have been what sparked it, you know?
Yeah, it really, yeah.
It put it in that air.
Guys, you're welcome. This is the Empower Hour, so what it does for the community. It sparks you, opens up your horizon. So no, so and actually, so before I dive in, I want to do something a little unconventional because we have a guest that's in studio with us this morning. So before we dive into the topic of our tough talk and we introduce you officially, Velsia, welcome to the Empower Hour. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much. It's absolutely a pleasure.
We like to just throw people into the sauce. So now you're here, and this is our segment. We just, you know, how was your week? You know, how was your week? Before we dive into everything, how was your week, Velsia?
Oh, it was actually, my week was how my weeks always are. There was a lot going on for myself and everybody else around me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I was being proactive, mm-hmm. not reactive.
Okay. That's a good week.
That's
a good week.
You see, I'm glad I asked you that. I was like, thank you for that. So you had a proactive week. And I have to say, actually, I'm going to go on your bounce because my week.
that's all you gave her?
Oh, no.
Whoa. Well,
she has a whole segment. We're going to go in.
Holy smokes.
You see, this is what
guy.
I go through.
Quick to flip that.
Right? I was trying to hear what this proactive stuff. He's like, nice, great, my turn.
Velsia, you understood. It was a little sauce. It was just to tease the people. Like, ooh, Velsia, so she has some more to say.
Go for it. What was proactive about your week?
Okay, so first I got to tell you guys the whole story. So,
there's a story.
So sounds reactive to me.
So last week, now I didn't tell you guys this, but last week I did a big faux pas. All right, I'll tell you guys. I did a big no-no in my world. All right, where we're getting ready to come to the studio, we realized that we're missing some equipment. For the first time, I got hit with the reality of needing back passes to get into places. Complete reality. And I was like, oh, whoa, reality check. Okay, so needed one. Audible made a quick call. Was able to have another one of our associates use their pass to get the item that we needed. I didn't think too much about it, right? I was just like, okay, cool. It's just something we need, and we're going to keep it moving. But you know how the spirit works? The spirit is an amazing, amazing thing. So now the love of my life, you guys know, my queen, it was her birthday this past week. She turned a big 4-0. Big shout out. Bap, 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 bap.
Bye, bye, bye.
I say it all the time, though. She does not look a day over 30. I tell her all the time. So even 20 somethings, but anyway.
you're the one the graying.
Yeah, no, I'm graying like crazy. But let's stay on topic.
Wisdom coming.
I already have a whole story to tell. Let's not divert me. You know how
no,
I
you
get.
Ain't lying.
No, that's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. So okay, bam. So guys, this is where we're at. So now, my queen, she wants a particular cake for her birthday. We're going to Toronto to get this cake because it hurts.
As you should.
Thank you, Jean. You understand what time it is.
100.
Okay, off topic. I'm in a group with some of my boys, and it was a split crowd in this because I told them some of them live in Toronto.
So how many are married and in a successful relationship?
Why do you say it like that?
Because I'm pretty sure I know a couple who are in that group already.
Okay, yeah, you do. But no, it's a split crowd. Actually, it's funny. Okay, the ones that are in relationships understood. The ones who weren't are not. We're a little bit like, what are you doing driving to Toronto just to get cake? And I'm like, yo, you don't understand. This is my wife's wish. She wants cake for her birthday. We're heading out.
40th during a pandemic? You got to do something.
Thank you. Shots in the air. Okay. Yeah. So now, boom. Anyways, and that was totally off topic. You talking to the mandem about that wasn't even the point. So anyway.
Did she actually want time alone? Is that why she sent you all the way to T.O.?
Imagine.
Just thought I'd ask.
Nice. Thank you, Vanessa. She came with me. Oh, okay. My gosh.
That would be the best.
I know, right?
The way it's all about him, she just might have wanted that little time.
She said 10 to 12 hours just for
wow.
me.
Wow.
That's for that back and forth?
You see what I go through, guys?
Back at you, I'm sorry.
You go through nothing.
This is my life. It's so hard. Okay, so now, coming back to my point now. So, all right, we make our run. We pick up what we need to pick up. We're getting ready to leave, and it's late now, so we're having a hard time finding food. So, and even, like, I funny enough, big shout out to the OFC, because I was able to get some contacts of restaurants through the OFC, but again, the timing wasn't right, some places were closing. Long story short, we end up going to a Greek restaurant, right? Cool. We go inside, we buy the food, and the plan was grab the food, we're just going to eat it on the way back to Montreal, we're just going to drive and eat. Cool. But now, like, I'm like, you know what? We bought the food, but I'm like, let's just eat here, because I'm like, you know what? I'm tired, and let's just eat, and then we're going to dip. So now when we're like, okay, now we're just going to sit down. They're like, oh, okay, then we need your pass. And I'm like, oh, right. Okay. All right, I guess we'll just go in the car. But now it's like, So now we're sitting in the car eating, and I'm like, wait a damn second. I'm like, I get livid. I'm like, wait, what am I doing? What are we doing? You guys know how I get. I get very explicit. When I get a reality check, it comes hard. And I'm like, wait a second. And then I remember earlier in the week, I'm like, wait a second. I'm like, what am I doing here? I'm like, yo, this is not what it is. Because I'm like, yo, so wait, if we didn't have a car, we'd be sitting outside eating right now? And I'm like, and then I'm picturing my ancestors back in the day not being able to buy food in the restaurants. And they're like, well, you back here, you could go eat your food outside. And they're like, okay, thanks. And they're doing it, right? And all of us say the same thing. We all say, yo, if I was there back in that day, I would have... Yeah, right. Because we're all doing it right now. I was like, no. Anyway, so guys, so just to say, so this week for me was like, it was time to be more proactive. So I got back right away. I had to talk to my homegirl, Tammy T. Big shout out to Tammy T. She's one of the biggest activists I know right now. So I had to call just to kind of shoot the ish with her and get some stuff off my mind. But off of that stimulation and that vexation I went through, you guys know the universe creates opportunity. So life was born, ideas were created out of that discomfort that I had. So now we're being more proactive. We're putting a couple of things in place. We're not going to share it right now, but trust me, community, we're putting some things in place so that we can be a little more proactive as a community, and we're not just being faced with the BS or hit with the BS when we're trying to go places, trying to get something to eat, and they're trying to tell us yay or nay. That's going to stop for us very soon. Okay, guys, leave it up to us. I'm telling you, we're going to be more proactive with this to ensure that the community at large does not feel this sense of segregation or alienation.
I just find it, and I really don't want to deep dive into this, but like, it's funny how I can stand in the restaurant, order the food, wait there the whole time for the food, breathe the air, exchange the air with you. But then once I have this food with me, it's just like, to stay though. You won't go ahead and need a QR code.
Yeah.
Because you're not immunized.
Thank you.
Jeez, I did not say that right.
Yeah, we understand.
Like,
we understand.
And like, it just, it's the make it make sense of it all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, and it's make this make sense. And right now, I'm tired of trying to make sense out of nonsense. So anyways, guys, so this has been our round table. So what we will do is take a quick musical break, and then we're going to come back with the Tough Talk series. Today is health.
It is health.
Woo-wee! Ah!
So we're not... Are we playing music?
No, we're just doing a pretend break. All right. Oh. I know you guys are all ready. Really, I know. Yeah, okay, Andrew, so... Andrew, we're doing a pretend break, okay?
Okay.
You heard it? Okay, yeah, and then I will insert the music after.
3:21.
So you want to come back? You want to call me back in then?
We're going to come back in. Gonna
come back on you, or...?
We're coming back on Gina. We're going to introduce the Tough Talk, and then we're going to bring in Brelsia.
So 3:22.
Kai, you there still? How you doing? Did we lose Kai?
Peace, y'all.
Ah, there we go.
Okay, you still on? Okay, cool.
Oh, what you're going to say?
Mm-hmm. Or just like, not gonna say, but the things that should have been. We're a little delayed today.
Yeah, okay, I'm like, what are you typing?
Hi, world. This is the behind the scenes of what happens at the studio.
Okay. Someone count me in, okay, please?
Yep.
In about 10 seconds, Andrew?
10? We need a whole 10?
No, I think we only need 5.
It's a 3-2-1, y'all.
Well, we've already wasted 5 seconds already.
Okay. How do we give him the countdown? Sorry. Is it like here? Like this?
Just orally.
All right. So 3, 2, 1. All right, guys. So topic of the day today. So you, as you guys know, we're having a series of Tough Talks. And today's topic is health. And health is beyond the physical. We're going to kind of touch upon mental health. We're going to talk about physical health. We're going to talk about spiritual health. And what that means to us, and what that means to our special guests that I get to introduce properly this time.
Oh, good. I'm glad. That's what you're here, Gina.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. That's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. Actually, let me do that so that we can all have a conversation together. Because I think that instead of kind of segregating the conversation, let me introduce the people. So you heard her voice earlier. We have Velsia Scott today. Now, Velsia has a long-standing career in the field of health and wellness. She's a lifestyle coach. She's a certified Pilates instructor, opened her first Pilates gym in the West Island of Montreal. She's a kettlebell and fitness specialist, and she also does corrective conditioning. and she holds an NLP master's degree. Now I'm gonna need a little help with that, because what is an L? What is wrong with me? NLP.
Everything's wrong.
You've got the PNL. En français,
the PNL.
Oui, c'est ça.
I can't even do that right.
It's just one of those days.
I need a nap.
Neural linguistic programming.
Okay.
That's what I need help with. Yeah, my linguistics weren't in.
You should just ask me. I knew what it was.
No, you did not.
I Googled it.
I believe you.
Hence, you did not know what it was.
Anyways, go ahead.
So, Velsia, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the show. Here. It's nice to see the scene behind the scene.
What happens? Yes.
Yeah, you're catching it all. shout out to Andrew, our editor.
He makes it sound so great when it comes out. What? Yes.
But Velsia, I'm glad that you're going to be able to weigh in on a couple of these aspects of health and give it a well-rounded space there. But why don't you talk a bit about the works that you've done and you know what you're doing today?
Okay, so works I've done, I started out actually with the physical aspect of things. Yeah, having started out with the physical aspect of things, I ventured into personal training. I was one time training to compete in bodybuilding competitions, but turned out I was pregnant, so that went by the wayside. So I just ventured on to continuing the physical being of myself. And from there, with the passing of my husband, I more geared myself into the mental aspect. At that point is when I switched from the physical to the mental for a personal reason, to address what I needed to be able to go forward. And from there, I started to look at other people and what they needed to help them, because having done NLP, having it done on me, I realized that more people could use the tools and the awareness of self to allow them to do things differently than how they were. And in my journey, I realized that 9 times out of 10, I was the only person of color doing these things. And I started to wonder why. Mm-hmm. Of all people who would need it,
right,
we didn't show up to take it.
100%. I want to say 2 things on that. The first, you mentioning being a person of color doing it. When I decided to go see a therapist one time, and it's nothing to say, it's nothing against who I went to go see, but when I sat down with this white older male and started explaining my story, and he looked at me like that was entirely insane. I was just like, that was just Wednesday. And I was just like, so it's nothing against you, but you can't relate.
You're right.
You can't relate to, and again, no disrespect, but you can't necessarily help me. But you mentioned having NLP done onto you. What is that? Like,
If you could elaborate, yeah, just on the whole.
So when you get it, you actually have to go prepared to, when I say disrobe yourself, I don't mean physically, but go there willing to address your pain.
Be vulnerable?
Absolutely, absolutely, unequivocally. And for a lot of people, that is where they stop. They come part of the way, but not all of the way. And for me, my biggest fear is fear itself. And for that being the reason, if I'm afraid to do it, I have to do it. And that's often what differentiates me from a lot of other people.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of having it be a blocker, it's kind of your motivational.
I have to.
To go through it.
To go through it. Wow. And if I make a promise to self, that is the most important promise I can make on the face of the earth. Because if I can keep true to myself, then you can guarantee that if I say I have your back, I have your back. But if I'm not true to me, then you can't trust me either.
Well, if you can't have your own back, how are you supposed to have someone else's?
Snapped.
So yeah.
Go ahead. I'm just here. Back.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so now going back to how you identifying the fact that there's a lack of people of color in that mental aspect. What did that mean for you, and how are you able to leverage that need, that gap?
Well, when I started and I realized that, at first I just thought, well, let me get myself healthy first before I even attempted to assist anyone else in their health aspect. Mm-hmm. And that meant the mental, because the physical health was always my escape. From the time I was little, I used that as my escape from reality. So long as I was physically fit, then you couldn't touch me. And it was me coming to understand that I was always in sports. From the time I was 12, 13, I played sports, and that was a family that I never had. So for me, the basketball team, the soccer team, all those teams was indirectly my family. And so, unlike a lot of other people who go out into the stores or go doing theft and all, I didn't. I made them part of what I was.
Right. Right.
And then I realized that we all find an outlet. Mm. And in so doing, it's whether we pick the right outlet or not, and if we ever address things, because you can have an outlet and use it as an escape and never really address the underlying cause of why you need that escape.
Mm.
We often do that, and we just continue. Music is one of the big escapes in this world. We put the music on, and we don't have to figure out anything else.
Yeah,
it takes our mind away, and for that few minutes, we're gone. Or we get on the phone with somebody, and we blah, 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 tell them all the problems, and after we hang up, we do nothing because we've just downloaded, and we're good for all of 5-10 minutes till the next time arises.
Mm-hmm.
And so often I'll tell people, don't download. Find yourself a coach, because a coach won't let you download. A coach will have you start checking in to understand where the drama is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there's drama, there's not you actually taking control of what you're doing. And once they start to do that, they don't need to go and find somebody to download on. They actually start to address things internally,
right,
come up with the answers, and then take action steps to do it differently. And that's what I like them to learn.
And it's interesting because you speak about using sports as an outlet, mm-hmm, and making yourself physically strong. And that's important because sports definitely helps a lot with discipline too. And you get to put that, you get to take that and apply it in life.
Yeah.
And you're taught in sports to get up and keep it pushing.
Yeah.
You know, and push through the pain, play through the pain, and then you use that. And that's why balancing all those different aspects is important, because then you can take that and then you start using that for your health, your mental health, and then you start using that for your spiritual health. And it's just like, well, no matter what I come through, just push it through, because I'm an athlete. But if you look at a house, it can look pretty on the outside, but if the foundation is crumbling,
it's gonna fall.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna fall.
And that's the other thing, is that often till something dramatic or trauma, mm-hmm, happens in your life, you keep going without even stopping to think or question. And for me, the turning point was the death of my husband. At that point, I had to stop and really reflect. And that's where I can say you can really understand the mental aspect of people and where depression could come in, or anxiety. Yes. Because when you lose somebody you've been married to for 26 years, it's a hard one.
Yeah.
It hits you. And then you escape. Then you just keep moving without really addressing anything. And so I do understand people when they're in a space of depression or anxiety, how they're not present in the present with the present, but they're void and present.
Yeah. Well, and it's not to say depression is easy, because it's far from, and I've seen that firsthand. I've seen clinical depression, and I've seen maybe call it intermittent depression. I don't know how you would call that when you kind of go in and out of it, but it sometimes feels like it's easier to just sink into that depression and just sink into that feeling, because you want to feel your pain, you want to feel the hurt that you're having, and like you just it's harder to get out of it, and it takes more effort, yes, to get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, often I will tell people, you know what, if you're going through any form of death or depression or anything like that, to pick a time and use it, say an hour or a half hour every day, and take that moment to be in that space.
Mm. Right.
But put a time on it.
Right.
And then after that time is done, get up and continue your life. Pick a time to be in that space so that you can pay homage to it, mm-hmm, and recognize that it is real,
mm-hmm,
but it doesn't mean you have to be there all the time.
And just to actually understand that a little bit more, so are you saying, again, just to reiterate, so if when people are mourning or going through a loss,
absolutely,
they should take the time, like on a daily basis.
You take the time, whatever you might need, but you take that time,
mm-hmm,
and sit with yourself. When you come home from work, take that half an hour,
mm-hmm,
to sit down and mourn, mm-hmm, your loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make that choice of when you will do it. Otherwise, you'll be walking down the street and break out
in tears.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Pick your time and keep it, and have it be that space that you pay homage. Yeah. And if you do that, then you will offload it,
mm-hmm,
and still be functional in society.
Mm. And how do I put this? Like, is there a duration of time? Like, should you mourn for a month? Should you mourn for 3 months?
Not at all.
So everybody's, if a person needs a year, an hour every day.
They take a year. They take that hour. Nobody can tell you, mm-hmm, when your mourning time is over.
Okay. Mm.
Nobody has that right.
But I like the idea of... And that's very interesting, because I was at a funeral a few weeks back, and this is one of my best friends, and I felt like he wasn't, not to say everyone mourns differently, mm-hmm. but like he has that very West Indian character of like, you don't show emotion, you don't cry, you don't this and that and a third. And I wanted to make sure I reiterated to him that, you know, it's important to share your emotions about things. But for him, it was more important for him to honor his brother's life by continuing to live his day to day. And, you know, I have to respect that. Mm-hmm. But then I was kind of like, you know, if you need that moment, like cry it out and then you can kind of keep it pushing. But it's different when you if you can do it in micro doses if you want.
Yeah.
And just say like, look, from 3 to 4 on Tuesdays or every single day, like that's my time for me to kind of do it. You do it until you don't feel like you need to do it anymore.
Absolutely.
And that, yeah.
And then you're in charge. You're in control.
Mm-hmm.
You're in control.
Interesting. It's like I really like that. It's, I guess, to play devil's advocate a little bit, the idea of mourning loss was always hard for me because I understood that life continues,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that that normally people are sad when people die because it's more of a personal thing, it's more of a selfish thing.
Absolutely.
like I am missing the person,
yeah.
But because I always felt like that person's entity, that spirit, that essence is still around, like I always had a hard time mourning. Like for me, it was the only time I felt down or anything like that when somebody passed away is if I guess it's in the moment, it's the shock of finding out, oh shoot, that person.
Well, actually, I can understand what you're saying, and I feel exactly the same way because actually this week, my old partner, his nephew, was stabbed. You probably saw it in the news this week in St. Thomas,
mm-hmm.
and he died.
Mm.
And it hit us, and it was like, ooh, I felt for his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a disassociated feeling for the mother.
Mm-hmm.
But when my husband died,
mm-hmm.
I felt my loss,
right,
which is completely different than the loss you feel when it's just somebody else,
right?
You can never compare it till it's your child,
mm-hmm.
or your parent,
right?
Then you understand, yes, they might continue. I believe in the continuation,
mm-hmm.
but there's just something that's quite different,
yeah,
if it's yours. And
okay.
so I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
But till mm-hmm. it's really impacted,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it's because I share that same sentiment,
yeah.
And for me, it's twofold. It was one, when it comes down to the passing, is when both my grandmothers passed away, mm-hmm. in two very different situations, scenarios. My one grandmother, from when I was born, I knew she had Parkinson's, and we understood that was, you know,
inevitable,
mm-hmm. and it was coming. And so we took every single year that we had to like understand that and grow into that, and we saw how she wasn't. And towards the end, it was just like, you know, Mama, like, this isn't your life. This isn't, you're not happy here anymore. It's okay. You can go.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
The other situation, my dad was not very forthcoming with, he's not good with that conversation. So we didn't even know she was sick. Like, mm-hmm. me, my sister, my brother, we didn't know that she was sick. And so, she usually always used to come and spend the summers at my dad's house. And I remember being on the phone with her saying, like, you know, Mommy, like, are you coming? She's like, oh, I'm tired. I was like, sleep when you get here. You can sleep on the plane.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is summer. It's summertime. You're supposed to be here. Mm-hmm. But she obviously didn't want to tell me what was going on because, you know, she's far now too. And all that happened. And then she ended up passing. And for me, it was really hard. And although I'm glad she was no longer in pain,
mm-hmm.
once I knew everything that was happening, you mourn for the fact that this is not someone that you can hug and touch, like, and touch and see anymore on this physical plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When we get to go in that spiritual space and be there and like high five each other, like, yo, you did good on Earth. That's great for that. But yeah. I still got all kinds of years here on Earth,
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
to do it without you.
Yeah.
And so, like, as much as I get that, and then there's always a sense of peace for that person who gets to go live a better life in that spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
But it is selfish,
right? Yeah.
Because it's. I don't have this anymore.
Right, yeah.
And I want you to be here with me, and I want to do the things that we used to do, and now I have to adjust and continue living this life on this plane without you.
But that's normal. Everything we do in this world is from a place of self-ish.
Yeah.
People hate mm-hmm. to hear that, and I always tell them that, and they're like, no, I do this because for other people. I say, yeah, but You wouldn't do it for other people if it didn't serve a purpose for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we all come from that space.
We only have our own lives to live.
Yeah.
You can't live for somebody else, so it has to be selfish.
Good. And I think it's good to address that, because I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think
it's not.
I think it's just we need to name it, we need to call it, and everyone needs to understand and accept that that's what we're doing. There's nothing wrong with it. I feel it was just today
because
we're talking
about that.
We've
taken selfish and made it being something that you do for only self, but yes, it is. But it's selfish if it's done correctly, is out of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
And that is that kind of selfless in the same time. Because you are a person, you are a people, and you're making sure. And the thing too is that when you know how to love, again, it goes back to like all these cliche things, mm-hmm. how you gonna love somebody else if you don't love yourself.
Right.
But that's just it. You have to fix you before you can even help fix anybody else.
You'll always be in fix.
Mode, right?
always.
And I think it comes down to that understanding of self. I was talking to one of my good friends today actually about that, and it was a matter of he likes to spend a lot of time of like just giving to others, like his family or whatever be the case. But then he ends up feeling like depleted. And I said, yeah, because you have to acknowledge that, you know, that you are an entity. You're super important, like, and you're here to co-create with other entities on this planet. Your children, your wife, these are all co-creators. You have to understand that they're guides and their realm as well, just like you. And if you don't take that time to acknowledge what makes me tick, what do I enjoy, what you know, like that, then you have a disconnect. So it's like it is such a value, you know, to connect with yourself and be selfish, like you know it's there's again as a family person, you want to involve your family in your things. You don't want to be like, no, this is just my thing, but there's a way of going about it. I was even explaining that like if you have an idea, it's always better to involve your loved ones at the seed of it while you're developing it, so you guys could develop it
together.
And grow together, you know, opposed to come with a finished product and then being disappointed when they're not as excited as you are. You know, so there's a balance. I love this.
And I know we're gonna end up getting, because I can talk about this all day and what have you, but Velsa, you have steps, right? And we've been covering a lot of that mental and a little spiritual and a little physical too, but you have certain steps that you work with. Can we talk about like what are some key steps or some key suggestions that you can give the people when it comes down to working on their physical and or their mental and or their spiritual health?
Okay, well, if they're going to be working on their physical, if you're talking the melanated community, just mm-hmm. per se, and majority, well, I will say majority of us, because of how our eating habits are, end up in a space of being pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember speaking to someone about that. And by the time you're told that you're pre-diabetic, you've already been diabetic for 5 years. There is no such thing as pre. You are or you're not.
Mm.
When they tell you you're pre, it's just buying you some more time to end up on medication. That's technically all it is. You've already been, you're already there.
Mm.
And it seems, and it takes change of lifestyle habits.
Mm.
And often we're not ready or willing to do that. And for me, that's something that's heartfelt. Because in my family, my father was diabetic, my aunt, my uncle, like my cousins, like everybody is diabetic. And I looked at myself and said, no, not me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't willing to go down the same path. I know my uncle was one of the first ones. He completely changed his eating, lost a bunch of weight, and he was no longer diabetic. And that didn't make any sense to me, because once you're diabetic, you're diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, fast forward, and then I now hit menopause and things change, and I recognize I'm somebody that I'm quite a Canadian person. I do trail running, which means I run like Mont Tremblant, those mountains, 28
Ks. Barely walk it.
21 Ks in the mountains, running for 5 hours, you know, like, yeah.
5 hours?
Well, if you're running a trail, sometimes it's 3 to 5 hours you're running.
Mm-hmm.
So I do those kind of things. I cross-country ski in the wintertime. Anyways, while doing that, I hit menopause, I started to realize that my body, even though I was doing all this, was changing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like I was becoming fat. It was the strangest thing, but not a normal fat. It was a blubby fat. It was, and mm-hmm. I'm running, say, about 15, 20 hours a week.
Mm.
And I'm working out, and things are just not the way they are. Anyways, fast forward, because this is what I do, and my health is my number one value. My number one value is my health.
Mm.
I did my research, and I researched for 6 months to find out what was going wrong, because I've been in the fitness industry for my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my small meals every day, 5 times a day. I ate my small snacks, you know, mm-hmm. all the time.
Follow your regimen.
Mm-hmm. And that regimen was my worst enemy at this point. And then I had to stop and say, well, what's wrong? I'm doing exactly what I'm doing, all my exercise, kicking ass, running five hours, sometimes 3-5 hours a day. And it just was going south. And then I started to realize, and I found all the information to show me the direction that what you do at 20, you can't necessarily do
right
at 50 or at 40. You need to make the changes because the body changes. Mm-hmm. And with that understanding, then I literally stopped working out. Mm-hmm. To lose my weight, I stopped working out. And I say that to people and they say, oh my God, but how do you stop? You've been doing it since you're 14. I'm 56 now. Since I'm 12, 13, I've been working out. But I literally stopped. I stopped for 2 years.
Wow.
And for me, that's a shocker because I could never foresee me stopping to work out. Mm-hmm. Anyways, having stopped that, then I addressed the eating. And the eating was the ticket to it. And I will always tell people it's not the physical, it's what you put in your mouth.
Mm.
That makes the difference between whether you will be your optimal weight or not. It is not the exercise. You would love it to be, but it's not. So it doesn't matter if you do 10 hours a day, it's not going to be the answer if what you're putting in your mouth at the end of that 10 hours is the wrong thing, or the frequency at which you're eating is too much that your blood sugar is fluctuating on a regular basis. Mm. Again, it means that you cannot lose weight. So you really have to stop and look at yourself and make all the necessary adjustments. Because if what you're doing is where you're at today and you want something different, then you can't continue to do what you're doing and expect different results. And that's what often
we do.
Yeah. We do. I want to lose weight. So we said it out of our mouth, but we haven't made any changes and it doesn't happen. And then, oh, well, I tried this. And no, you didn't try. Mm-hmm. You didn't really stop and address the issues so that you can do it differently. And so this is what it comes down to.
I think there's an education piece missing. Because what you're just saying, like, I'm so grateful to hear that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners are as well. Because it's a lot of us don't know that. And we're really, gyms are packed all the time with people who are in there trying to lose weight. But
They're usually in there on the cardio machines. And I always said to them at that time, when you look in a gym, which body do you want? The one that's on the cardio machine or the one that's lifting the weights? And 9 times out of 10, it would be the one lifting the weights. Well, a cardio machine is for that. It's for your heart.
Mm.
It's for your heart.
Mm-hmm.
The weights is what you really need to do, and they'll go on, you know, cardio. Women over 50, forget the running.
Mm-hmm.
Walk. Walk half hour a day. Walk an hour. Mm-hmm. Do
I heard
the walking.
That it's more weight training for when you, I heard over 40, once you hit 40, that you need to switch over more towards weight training.
Weights 20 minutes, three times a week. That's it. That's all.
Wow.
That's all, and walk the rest of the time.
And that's really important. I'm glad you said that because that's the other aspect where you think you have to live in the gym every single day for mm-hmm. at least an hour, and then that's where people kind of just like, you know what, I can't do this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And versus like just saying, let me just take 20 minutes 3 times a week.
Yeah,
and then you can have better results than someone who's going to the gym 7 days a week.
Absolutely, mm. absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's so basically if.
Oh, Kaya.
Wait, Kaya, say something.
Sorry, I just had a question. I was hearing you talking about, you know, the people struggling with diabetes and, you know, your recommendations. So I was wondering, because I looked at a piece this week about diabetes because someone I know is suffering, and they were mentioning vanadium, chromium, and bilberry being something to be added to the diet, because when you have diabetes, you actually just means that you have a dysfunctional pancreas. And that the pancreas needs to be fixed. And in order to stop or prevent or pretty much make diabetes go away, that you have to repair the pancreas because it's ineffective or it's inactive. What are your views on that?
Okay. When it comes to being diabetic or pre-diabetic, I'll just use that for lack of other word because that's what we know. the best thing for that, and people are going to just like stop eating.
Oh, fast.
Like fast?
It is the number one thing for if you're pre-diabetic, because the body will automatically heal itself. Our bodies heal itself, and we never give it that opportunity because we're constantly eating or adding another this or another that. We need to stop. It's really that cheap.
But when you say stop eating, are you talking like literally? Because shout out to Alvina Ryan, who's talking about the water fast you went on for a couple of days. So what are we talking
about? Okay, so I actually do a program with people who are in the process of obtaining, and notice the words like obtaining their optimal weight. Mm. I don't use the word weight loss because when you lose something, you always look for it to put it back. Mm. So I don't like to use weight loss. Mm-hmm. I like to say obtain your optimal weight. And that being said, we go through a way of teaching them how to eat differently. Now, I never tell you to change what you're eating at first. What you do is learn how to eat less frequent. Mm-hmm. And we do it week to week. So it's usually about a 3-month process, really it is, so that you end up losing weight whereby you don't feel like you're doing anything different to lose this weight. And that being the case, you're able to sustain this for the rest of your life because you didn't feel deprived or that you had to change anything. And it's done gradually, week to week. Only one thing is changed each week. And that way you don't feel it. But my mother, well, she came to me and she was, for her blood sugar level was 11 something. So she was on medication for pre-diabetic. And I said, Mom, are you ready to change? And she says, yeah, I don't like the stomach I have on me right now. I said, well, if that's the case, then finish off what you have in your pantry this week and we start next week. Mm-hmm. Well, we did that. And then I told her, this is what you're going to do. This is when you're going to eat. Don't change your food. Just don't buy any more rice and potatoes. Like, you know, there are specific things not to have, but you're going to eat. And I want you to eat till you're full. No skimping. Eat till you're full the times that I've told you to eat. And she did. And this is, she started in June. And at this point, she's now down 15 pounds. Her blood sugar went down to 5. And the doctor said to her, wow, the pills are working. We don't have to increase it. We didn't bother to tell him there is no pills because to tell him that would have been a whole other thing. But yeah, so it really meant that all she had to do was change one little thing each week. That was all.
So selfishly, I'm going to ask because you said no rice and my whole...
My mother's whole life was rice.
Yeah, I think that's a Caribbean thing too. Yeah. But is it because it's not a complex carb?
Because it's pure carb. There's nothing wrong with rice. So I want everybody to understand there's nothing wrong with rice.
My heart just broke.
There's nothing wrong with any of those foods. But when you've taken your body and placed it in a space of unhealth,
okay, right.
At that point, you need to say, I'm sorry. I love you. I know I've messed up. So now I'm going to take care of you with what your needs are, not what my needs are, what your needs are, because I know you've been there for me all the times that I've been messing up. So, and this is me talking to myself as a second person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to love you and this will allow you to heal. And when you're healed, I know you will allow me to enjoy some of the things that I loved.
Right. But so does my body need brown rice? Can I do brown rice at least?
Your body needs to heal. And because you've taken it all the way over to the other end. Trying. I know. Because you've
wild. What about wild rice?
If you hadn't pushed it all the way over to the other end, yeah, okay. You could do wild. But once you've crossed over to pre-diabetic or diabetic, mm-hmm. You need to say, I've screwed up. I own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to highlight, like, honestly, and because we're West Indian people in a northern country, and we're not outside walking in the burning sun where it's burning the carbs and where you need those carbs to be able to have energy.
Fuel.
But and I like when you look at when we have any type of fete and you look at your plate, first of all, I eat potato and chana with rice or roti. It's just like that's carb on carb on carb high-fiving each other on my plate. And don't forget the macaroni pie too, though.
Right, of course.
Cause it's,
but
it's,
you will
it's
have it. You will absolutely have it again after you've allowed your body to heal.
To heal.
And if you look at it that way, if you don't allow your body to heal, what's in it now for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to stop because we are short-term thinkers. Long-term, my intent is to live to 100. Mm-hmm. So if it means I have to sacrifice one thing right now to allow me my bigger goal, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Tear in a bucket. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask this. So there's a term, eating with mindful appreciation.
Absolutely.
What is that exactly?
Eating with mindful. Because, I often tell people before you sit down to eat or when you sit down to eat, take a minute or two,
mm-hmm.
breathe, and tell your body, relax, breathe again. Tell your body, relax. And each time you do it, you'll actually physically feel yourself relax a little more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now after you've done that, say, 5-6 times, be silent and then start eating. Mm-hmm. Because your body will receive that food completely different than if your body was stressed when you started.
Mm. Wow.
That's really good.
So because me eating standing up while I'm moving is
not optimal.
Okay.
And you know, two things too. I was always told, when you're hungry, drink some water first because you might be thirsty. By the way, you might not even be hungry in the first place.
Yeah.
So drink some water. Mm. But the other thing that I had just realized on my own, like the other day, I was just like, I feel like we have this Pavlovian effect of eating in front of the TV now.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when it started with eating in front of the TV, then it's before I start eating, I want to find a show to watch while I'm eating.
Mm-hmm.
And then now when I'm watching TV, I'm just like, oh, you know, I need a snack.
Mm-hmm.
I need something. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, look at me, the dog.
Right.
It's a Pavlovian effect of TV, snack, eating.
Yeah. Wow.
So I'm going to try to start eating. And I say that now.
Mindful eating?
Well, mindful eating and just that. Concentrate on just doing this.
Well, I had a client that... She was running the program, and every time she came home from work, she used to tell me I'd go straight to the fridge and grab a snack. As soon as she walked in, that was the direct she went. I said, okay, so this is what we're going to do, something really simple. Move your table so that when you walk in the house, the table's in your way. Well, she lost 8 pounds just moving that table.
Wow, yeah.
Kid you not. She lost because she couldn't go, so then instead of going straight to the fridge, she'd go straight to put her coat down, and when she put her coat down, she would go upstairs because the stairs are right there, to go upstairs to change her clothes. By the time she came back down, she didn't need the snack anymore.
Right.
It was a silly, silly, silly little thing.
100%.
So we have like another 5 minutes or so of this segment. This has been super heavy because...
No, I need more time.
I know.
I'll have to come back.
Yeah, you know? It's one of those things where, honestly, like the whole purpose of why we do this, again, is to educate the community, is to create these outlets, create these opportunities. I'm sure people are listening. They might have more questions. They're going to want to follow up.
Okay, so then that being said, I have a program starting in March.
Good.
That working with women, mm-hmm. And I say women because they're the ones that emotionally eat.
Okay.
And yeah, because men sneeze and they lose the weight. I don't understand it.
They
sorry, that was.
I know. See, it came from
that
weird.
Came from where?
It came from a weird.
It came purchase. From my. It came from my dad. We were just like, Dad, you lost weight? Yeah, I just stopped sugar. I lost 30 pounds. Me, I'm eating carrots. I'm gaining weight. What's happening?
Right.
Because carrots is more sugar than sugar. Anyways,
you see,
you're killing everything I love.
You learn something new.
I love carrots and rice.
Oh my god!
What is happening?
This
is awesome. Okay, you know. So please, so let us know.
Starting March, and it's for 3 months, and it's 3 months because that will take you just the beginning of summer, whereby you will have lost anywhere, if you do it correctly, between 10 to 15 pounds.
Beautiful.
And at that point, summer being here, you feel more able to continue doing what you're doing. If you come to the summertime and you're at the space where you are now, it's kind of depressing to turn up to summer and you can't put on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you turn up to summer and you can put on something a little smaller. It's like, yeah, I got this now. I got this.
Yeah,
it's
a whole different
mindset.
So where do we sign up? And I'm signing up today.
Well, I will be doing the thing on the platform because there's an OFC platform that I will be doing it there once a week. And it is a 3-month commitment. It is $150 a month.
That's inexpensive. I never like to call anything cheap, but it's inexpensive.
It's absolutely because I'm doing it for this platform. My normal price is $125 an hour that I charge everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So this is
very inexpensive.
Make sure you mention the Empower Hour or the OFC when you're calling Velcia for these, so she knows you're part of the family.
Yeah, so
you might get that $125 an hour price.
So it will be on the platform.
Which, by the way, is still inexpensive because, like you said, being pre-diabetic, all these different things, all those medications that you're taking and taking years off of your life, it's a higher cost.
And if you think about it, people spend all kind of money after the fact when they're sick. They will spend anything to try to heal. Instead of taking preventative measures to just sustain a healthy lifestyle.
And I can guarantee you that you will absolutely save money being on my program because I'm not asking you to buy anything. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you actually to stop buying things. So there's a whole different approach. But no, it actually really works and you don't feel it. And that's the beauty. People say, well, I could have done this by myself. And I say, if you tell me that by the time we're finished, that, this was so simple, I could have done it on my own. I know that I have succeeded because it's not to make you feel it.
Mm-hmm.
It's to make you not feel it so that you can continue it after we're finished.
Mm-hmm. And because one of the things that's coming to me a lot as you're speaking is how much mental power it is, because it's all mind. It's like basically how you think.
It's discipline,
Exactly. It's your discipline. It's how you think. It's what you know, right? So your level of education, if you don't know certain things, you're just ignorant to it. So you're doing the wrong things.
And I make sure they're educated at the same time. There's things that they will have to read, videos they'll have to watch so that they can have an understanding. And we discuss it. so they can have a real understanding and be able to move forward.
Sorry, and do you adjust to certain different diets? Because like myself, I'm vegetarian, is vegan,
oh, absolutely.
And all these things. You adjust.
And you know,
well?
Vegetarians are one of the people that eat the most carbs. You know that, right?
Yeah. No, I never heard of that. Yeah. Never heard of that.
There's like they only eat potatoes, or they and they massively. And so no, vegetarian does not.
And rice.
And rice. Yeah.
And carrots, clearly.
But it's just to heal.
Once those are carbs too.
Once you're healed, you can reintroduce those things. And usually by the time you've healed, you don't even want them anymore because you feel so good. Honestly, till you're there, you don't.
No, it's not even that. No, I just, you said that, I'm just like, but I love my rice, but we will have to break up, I guess. Mm. And then, and like, that's going to be like the lover lost. And I'll say, I remember I used to love you.
Mm. Yeah. You know,
not
that
anymore.
And he doesn't look as good as he used to look.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you put on weight. Okay.
Good. Yeah. I love it. So this is awesome. Now, Velsi, so how do people get in contact with you? How do they reach you?
Okay, well, I am part of the OFC, so they definitely can find me there. I will always give that props first.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Mm-hmm. My number is area code 514-979-1900. I do have
just
a website.
Just repeat that for the people.
Hold on. Yes, you have to take time. I always give people time because they're listening. They're hyped. They're trying to grab their phones. They got a notification. They're paused.
But they know the OFC.
Yeah, they do. Well,
they definitely know the OFC.
You're absolutely right. They could just go to the OFC link and just punch in Velsia and it will come up. There's only one Velsia in the world.
Not really. I do have a website. Also, mm-hmm. Velsia Scott. It's really simple. It's my name. But if you go through there and I don't know who you are, it's $125 an hour. And the mm-hmm. prices that you see there mm-hmm. for the program, the same program, I think it's $500 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you just might want to come through this avenue because this is not the price I charge. And I'm doing it for here only.
That's why we love you, Velsia.
Okay, so and you can find it up on the website. You don't change your website every day. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do it just for this reason. You'll see that it's been that way for a while. And I do run the programs and I started in March.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Guys, one more time for the phone number for those who finally got their phones out and who are ready to take it down slowly.
Area code 514-979-1900. Once again, 514-979-1900.
Mm-hmm. Alors, programme aussi disponible en français? Super.
Guys, this has been awesome. This has been awesome. So again, that's why I'm loving this Tough Talk series. So we started with, it was communication. Then we did relationships.
Yep.
Today was health. And I got to say, guys, this was an exciting one because this is...
It was. And like, I feel like we need some more on relationship. I feel like we wanted to touch on all three points mm-hmm, in terms mm-hmm. of physical, mental, and spiritual
health.
Also,
let me come back for relationships. I love to talk about that and relationship with... hey, listen, I'm here now. I might as well...
take advantage.
As a life coach, like, you know, you deal with all these different Absolutely. Avenues of life. And relationships is one that's really, because it's not about the dishes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
talk about it.
We're gonna have a 2.0 series on this because, like, I think we there's a lot more that we can touch upon from there, and maybe we didn't touch too much on the spiritual side mm-hmm. per se, but. I mean.
Well, what we can do because we'll take our musical break with our DJ Bobby Payne, and then we're gonna come back. Maybe we can touch a little bit more on the spiritual aspect and different things like that because you guys know that's where I live. I love that kind of stuff. But then we can dive into the rest of the show. But before, I just wanted to give Velsia, you know, throw your flowers. We definitely appreciate you coming
Thank
on
you.
And blessing the community with this knowledge, this information, this education. So again, we appreciate you. Thank you for being on the Empower Hour.
Pleasure.
Cool. And so this is our Tough Talk series. And with that, let's take a break.
Faced with sickle cell anemia, the solution is in our blood. It's a matter of genetics. The more people from the Black communities who give blood, the better our chances to find compatible donors to help those affected by this disease. Faced with sickle cell anemia, we can't leave anyone behind. We have to donate. So don't wait. Book an appointment today at hemequebec.qc.ca because giving is in our blood.
CKUT Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
I'm here to big up DJ Worm. You don't know Kenny Blessing as I do into the world. Up down.
Give praise, children. Give praise, children.
Say,